I'll knock that over.
I got, I've got a couple of announcements. Got a card I need to read. We've got, instead of a choir this morning, we've got a couple of skits that are going to happen this morning that pretty powerful. And it was requested they would be done again, so that's what's going to happen. So, first off, I have a card here. It says, "Thank you for your goodness and generosity. Thanks so much for the love, prayers, calls, visits, food, cards, and the concerns for me while I was having a new hip replacement, and I could feel the prayers. Love you all with all my heart, Sharon Higginbotham." And we're glad she's with us today. All right. In the bulletin, there is a practice time for a 10 for him. It has changed just a little bit. Practice will be this evening from 4:30 to 6. Okay? And immediately following the service, it says we need all youth in middle school through Christianity 101 to come to the gym following the morning worship service to help us put up tables and chairs. And a big thanks to all of those who prepared dinner yesterday. Okay? And this would be a prayer request. we mentioned this in Sunday school, but if you could continue to pray for this situation. Jerry Cavender's sister-in-law, Jeannie, is in ICU, and they'll need to transport her to another hospital. So let's pray for that. Let's pray for that situation. All right. Does this belong to anybody in here? It is a kind of a bronze-colored watch. Okay. Check your jewelry box, ladies, when you get home. If you lost it, it's here. All right, we're going to worship the Lord in many ways. Today might be a little different, but we're going to worship the Lord. All right, I'm going to ask our ushers if they'll come to service. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all of the blessings of life, dear God. We thank you for watching over us, all that you've done for us. We thank you, dear God, that we have a place to come and worship you. It's dry, it's comfortable. We're just thankful. We've just got a wonderful place. We have no excuses today. We can come and worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for how you've blessed us, dear God, and in your word you've told us that we need to give back. So bless those that have to give and bless those that have not to give today, dear God, and we thank you. We thank you for your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Our Sunday school class has been sitting for a while. Before they come out to do the skit, let's all stand, turn to page 160. Let's all sing together.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day. In my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Hi, Brie.
Hi, Jesus.
So, I got you all some gifts.
No way. Really?
Yeah. We're going to start with you, Tatum. So,
okay.
Here's yours.
I need everyone to be quiet, like, no talking. I'm going to close my eyes when I open this. Okay, here we go. Oh, my gosh, Jesus. An 8-ounce can of Coke? No way. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I'm so excited. How did you know to give me this?
So I was thinking, and I was like, what would be the perfect gift for Tatum? And I was like, oh, I got it. I know it would be the perfect gift for Tatum. So I thought, like, okay, I'll get her this 8-ounce can of Coke.
Jesus, I love it. Thank you.
Here, Brie, here's yours.
Oh, my gosh. I have a 16-ounce can of Coke.
Jesus.
What?
Why did she get more than me? That's not fair.
But do you want a 16-ounce can? Or a 16-ounce bottle?
I want more. This is nothing compared to hers.
Okay,
thanks.
Hey, Brie, look what I got. I got a liter of Coke. Jesus gave me the sweetness from heaven.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Jesus? Well, this is, you know, just fantastic. They get more than me.
Look what I got.
Brie, that's awesome.
This is a joke, right? Like, what even? This is nothing.
I got you your 16-ounce bottle of Coke, Tatum.
Thanks, Jesus. I really appreciate it. You know, they got more than me.
But isn't that what you wanted?
I mean, yeah, but then they got more than me, so why can't I have that?
Are you really going to let a little 8-ounce can of Coke steal your joy?
Actually, Jesus, you're stealing my joy because you're giving them more than me.
So, in this illustration, we saw this and watched through it on YouTube. So basically, it's the moral of it is to be happy with the gifts that God gives you, because God's not always going to give you the gift that somebody else has. Somebody might be able to sing, and that might be their gift, but you might be able to play an instrument, and that's your gift. Every gift's equal to God, and that He gives it to you for the purpose of serving Him. Right. So you can't be jealous of what somebody else has. You just got to realize that God gave you your specific gift for a reason.
I want to feel you. I need to hear you. You are the light that's leading me to the place where I find
Do I need to repeat everything I said for the last 5 minutes? But it's so important that our young people are involved, and that we learn so much, we take so much from them, and we take so much from them when they do these things, and we're so thankful that we have them here, and that they want to take part, and they want to take part in our services, and we encourage that. Matthew chapter 14. Before we read this, we're going to go to a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you be with us this morning, Father, Lord. We know that you're in this place, Father. Help us, Lord, just to know, Father, Lord, that you love us, that you care for us. And help us, Lord, just to get into your word this morning, Father. Open up our ears, open up our hearts, Father, Lord, that we may understand what it is you're trying to tell us, Father. Lord, we just we want to show the world, Father, your love. And Lord, we just ask that you just speak through me this morning. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would touch hearts, that they would come and seek your face this morning, Father, Lord. Whatever they deal with, Father, whatever need they have, Lord, or whether it's just to come and to worship you, Father. But we pray, Lord, that people will connect with you this morning, Father, Lord, and seek your face. And we're just so thankful for what you've done and what you're going to do, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 22. Beginning with verse 22, Matthew 14:22 says this: "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea." So what we have when we read this is that Jesus had just finished with feeding the thousands that he fed. And so he sent his disciples away on the ship to the other side of the sea. And it says, "And when he had sent, when he went up into the mountain to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone." It says, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, and wind was contrary." And so what you have is you have the disciples that are in the midst of the sea, and the winds have started to pick up, and the waves are picking up, and they're there alone. They're there without Christ. And so a little bit of a panic has set in. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered unto him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?' And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, 'Of a truth, thou art the Son of God.'" And so, as I was doing this week, I was thinking about the skit that I knew they were going to do this morning. And I thought about in the skit about how she started off with Jesus and how she started off in this relationship with him. And how you could tell that there was a relationship between the two. He was showing her things. He was letting him know that he was there. And so she believed, and she was with him, and she had communion with him. But then things began to change. And I thought about us in our lives and how so many times we start out in life in church, or we start out going to church. Our parents brought us, and we were raised in church, and we believe, and we're faithful. And we believe everything that we hear in church and in the Sunday school lessons. And we have a strong relationship with him as we're young. But then a lot of times something happens in our life. A lot of times, just like in that skit, someone maybe comes in and changes. And someone comes in and maybe has an influence on you. Someone comes in and you begin to fall into their ways. And you begin to go with them. And then something else comes along. Maybe you know, it showed the money. A lot of us, we get caught up in trying to run after money or trying to get, you know, trying to work for that dollar. And so that becomes a distraction. But whatever it is, a lot of times there is a falling away that happens in our lives. And there's a falling away after we've had a relationship with Christ. And so I began to think about that and began to look at that in my life and in other people's lives and to see what it is that we can do to fix that. And so what we saw in that skit is that these things, sin began to come in, creep in, and she became a different person. You know, her mannerisms at the beginning began to change into something that was totally, you know, different at the end. She became depressed. She became a victim. She became, you know, imprisoned by these things that came in. Not that they came in, but that she was separated from Christ. And that's what happened when sin comes into our life. It separates us from the love of Christ. It separates us. Our relationship becomes strained because we have gone away from that which we know to be true, and that which we know that God loves us, that Jesus loves us, and that He wants a relationship with us. And so what I worry about is I worry about our young people. I worry about our young people that grow up in this church, and I worry about them deciding to step away for a little while. And so that's what I wanted to kind of talk about, is that it's dangerous to step away from Christ. It's dangerous to say, I'm taking a break from church. It's dangerous to say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to test the waters for a little while. It's a dangerous thing because you get further and further. What I pictured is when I was thinking about this, I was picturing getting tossed overboard out of a boat. And so that's what brought me to Peter. But when I was thinking about, I read a headline here not too long ago about a woman that had gone overboard on a cruise ship. And I thought, what can you do in that situation when you're out in the middle of this big ocean and maybe you come out of a boat or something happens and you're separated from that boat? Maybe you wanted to just go out and take an adventure. Maybe you just wanted to jump on your own and you wanted to separate yourself from the safety and whatever it is that you're where you're at. And so, but when you go out and you separate and you jump into those waters, you quickly realize that you're in a lot of trouble. You're in a lot of trouble because you can only paddle for so long and you can only stay afloat for so long. And not only that, but there are things in that ocean that are out to get you. There are sharks, there are, you know, things that there's a lot of danger in being out there alone. And so when you grow up in church and when you've had that relationship with Christ, and then all of a sudden you get to a point in your life where you think, well, I'm just going to go out. I need a little bit of freedom. I need to go out and I need to do my own thing for a little while. What you find is that you go out into uncharted territory. You go out into dangerous waters and you become isolated from where you need to be. And it's easy to just float on out and to become, it becomes more dangerous and more dangerous because of this world and the sin that is in this world. And the sin, and you can find that it takes you pretty quickly where you don't want to go. And so you see where you came from, and you see that you need help, but you're not exactly sure how to get help. And so, you know, I preached about this one time that it's impossible to stand down or to be in the water and try to toss a rope up to the top to be saved. What do you have to do for somebody to help you out? You have to call out and for them to drop a line to you. And so that's what Peter did. He began to sink. He went out to Christ and he went out on the water. And he said, you know, if it is you, then let me come out to you on the water. And he began to walk on the water and he was fine for a little while. But then it said that the wind, let me read it. It says, but when he saw the wind boisterous and was afraid and beginning to sink, it said, he cried saying, Lord, save me. And so that's what saved him, was him crying out, realizing that he was beginning to sink. And so what we as people need to do is we need to realize that we have to be anchored to Christ. And we have to be anchored to the boat, to the we need to be grounded in Christ, that He is our safety. He is our lifeline. And I began to think about if somebody was separated from the boat, what are some things that you could do to help them out? you can toss them one of those round lifesavers, those white lifesavers that you see. And I thought about that, but what if it's not attached to anything? What if you just toss it out there? That might help them in a small sense because it would keep them from drowning, right? But is that going to help them to come into the boat? No. It's just going to keep them afloat, just so their head's above the water. But as far as food and everything, they're not going to have any food because they're still wandering out with their head above the water. And there's a danger in starving. Is that going to keep them from the sharks as they go out? No, it's just keeping their head above the water. And so they're still in danger. And so with that lesson, I thought about, a lot of times we just go through life with just thinking that we can just have our head above the water. We go through and we cling to small things. Maybe we're playing church, or maybe we're just here, or maybe we just think that, you know, if we just associate a little bit with Christ, then things will be okay. And so we're just barely surviving spiritually, keeping our head above the water. But you're still danger. You're still in danger, and you're still isolated in that sense. So it could be that we even go to church and we're wandering around, floating aimlessly and isolated and not plugged in to what Christ has for us. That's possible because I've been in that situation too before in my life, where I was coming to church, but I just wasn't, you know, connected. I was coming to church, but I was playing church. I was singing in the choir maybe, or I was doing things in the youth group, but spiritually, and you know, I was separated from Christ and what He would have me do. And so, I guess if you could picture it, I was just floating around out there, not connected, and just barely hanging on. But what Christ wants, and what we need, is we need that lifeline that He has to offer us. We need that rope that He tosses out to us, that we need to hang on to, that says that we're going to find our way back. We're going to, as long as we hang on to this, then we're safe, and we're with Christ. And so, He has to toss us that lifeline. And that from that comes our safety. Because once we have that, we can come back and we can get in. This is what I worry about with our young people. They have that lifeline as they grow up right now. They have a lifeline maybe in high school, maybe in middle school. But at some point they think, it's okay if I just let go of this for a little while. It's okay if I just let go and I just go and do this for a little while. I can always come back. Aren't those some famous last words? I can always come back. I can go back anytime I want. But sometimes we get lost. Sometimes we get into things that are over our heads. Sometimes we get in. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. And that freedom becomes a prison. And you know what's so hard about prison is that they're hard to get out of. And you say, well, you can just get out of these prisons at any time. But when you get in a prison of addiction, or you get in a prison of you know, something where you're ashamed of that, you get in a prison of a relationship with somebody that has kept you down, or you get in some kind of prison that sin has set up, it always starts out looking good, looking like freedom. But you always end up burdened with that sin. And so when you get in those situations, it's hard to bust out and to ask for help. And it's hard. And you might even come to church, but it's not the same. You're just floating right there. You're keeping your head above the water. But what Christ has for us is so much more. You see, Peter, he learned that, and he said, he began to sink and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. He knew where the lifeline was. He knew where it was. You know, it doesn't say that he tried to start, you know, getting up himself. He didn't try to start paddling frantically and try to step up, because after all, he was standing. He was standing and he began to fall. And it doesn't say that he tried to stand back up on the water. It said that immediately he cried out, Lord, save me. That's what we need to do in our lives. That's what we need to do, is we need to cry out for Jesus to give us that lifeline that He can give us. We need to stop trying to flail our arms and flail our legs and say, hey, I can get out of this mess that I got into. Because you can't. You can't. Nobody can save themselves. In this life, nobody can save themselves from the the punishment that comes with sin. Nobody can save themselves from sin. But you have to ask Christ to save you. You have to ask Him and cry out to Him and say, Lord, save me. And it says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And so what I picture here is that Jesus not only grabbed him and lifted him up, but see, they were both still in the water. And I don't think that Jesus went back to the boat dragging Peter in the water. What do you think He did to Peter? He either carried him or He set him back up on his feet and they walked to the boat. But that's what He'll do. He'll set us up on our feet. He will take us and He will either carry us through those times or He will set us on our feet. But we have to know how to save ourselves. We have to know how to do that. Say, all right, give me some tips on how to save myself. Here it is. Call out to Christ. That's your tip. That's what it takes to save yourself. Call out to Christ. Humble yourself before Him. Humble yourself and ask Him to forgive you for your doubt. Ask Him to forgive you for your wandering ways. And He is faithful to forgive. And He will set you up right. You know, as I was thinking of this lesson, I was going through and I was thinking of David and how David went through the same thing. In his younger years, when he was but a youth, he had a strong connection to God. And he had a strong connection and he put all his faith in God. And his faith shone through in his battles with Goliath. And in his early years, when he was anointed king and when he went away, he had a strong relationship with God. He was a man after God's own heart. And even when Saul was persecuting him, David had mercy on Saul and chose not to kill him when he could. And so what he was displaying was a strong connection to God. But at some point, David said, you know what? I'm tired of walking in these ways with God, and I'm going to begin to wander, and I'm going to see what's out there that I can get into on my own. That's when you start to get in trouble. That's when you start to get in trouble, when your mind starts to wander from the Lord and say, well, I'm going to see what I can get into on my own for a little while. And I'm going to step away from this thing that we call worship and this thing that we call, worshiping God and a relationship with God. I'm going to step away for a little while and then I'll just come back. And so what we have is that David had a great falling away from God. You say, well, what happened? Bathsheba came along. No, it wasn't her. It was David in his mind. It began way before that. He decided in his mind that he was going to go a different way. And so then when Bathsheba came along and she was bathing, that's when the opportunity came in for him to seek out those ways. And so it began in the mind and in the heart, a lust for something other than serving God. And so that's when that sin crept in. And so we know the story that he took Bathsheba and he had her brought to the temple, and then she became with child. And then what did he do? He tried to cover it up. And he just got deeper and deeper. And before you know it, he was murdering someone to cover up his sin that he had committed. And so he had a great falling away from Christ. A great falling away from God. But God chastened him. And God came to David through the prophet Nathan. And Nathan told him of his sin and what he had done. And so, but he had to pay a heavy price for that. But what I'm getting at is this, is that he knew what to do when he got in all of that trouble. He knew what to do when he fell away from the Lord, when he got into that sin, when he committed those atrocious acts. He knew what to do. And that was to fall on his face and say, God, please, please forgive me. And we see that he did that. And so he came back. But there was a heavy price to pay for his wandering. There was a heavy price to pay for his decision to say, you know what, I'm going to step away from this thing for a little while. And he was even a strong person in the Lord. And so what makes us think that we as Christians can just say, hey, I'm going to step away for a little while, And I'm not talking about taking a break from things. What I'm talking about is getting away from church altogether and saying, I'm going to go see what the world has to offer me. That's what I'm talking about. And it's to step away and to say, I'm going to go and I'm going to serve myself for a little while. I'm going to do what makes me happy. I'm going to do what gives me a thrill. And that is dangerous. And so for our young people especially, I want to offer that warning that not to let go of the lifeline that your parents have given you. Not to let go of that, what they have taught you. Not to let go of that work that has gone in to you being here and being part of the church. Don't let go of that and think that it's just going to be easy just to come right back. And that you're just everything's going to be good. Just hang on to that. Keep coming to church. Find you a good church. If you go away to school, find you a good church there. Find you people at that school that you can cling to and have a similar, you know, servitude to the Lord. Find yourself those people. Get in the relationships with those boys or girls that are going to have the same heart for God that you have. And don't try to take a break from God and expect that everything is going to be okay. But hang on to it. Continue to serve Him. Continue to hang on to that lifeline and be grounded in the Lord, because He is faithful. And there is danger in wandering into this world of sin. There is danger. There are many people who never made it back from that because they decided to wander. I want to go to as we get ready for an invitation, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So he says, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That is what he's telling us, is that we have a high priest that knows what it's like to go through this world. We have a high priest that knows what it's like to walk in our footsteps. And yet we have a high priest that has grace, that is able to take us in when we have fallen. And he is able to answer our cry when we cry out to him. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you feel like this morning, like you're floating around, maybe you feel like you've done just enough to be relevant or just enough to keep your head above the water, but you're still isolated from Christ. You're still isolated from church. Maybe you're going through the motions. Know that you can be connected, and that you need to be connected, because this is a dangerous world that we live in. Satan is always going around seeing whom he can devour and whom he can take up. We have to be grounded in Christ. Young people, don't ever step away from it. Don't ever think that you can just take a break and come right back. But you hold on to your faith and stay with it. I think about Mrs. Newhouse, saved at the age of 8 or so, I believe. Mrs. Newhouse was 99 years old, living a Christian life. She never stepped away from her Savior that she took comfort in. Read her Bible all the time. What a wonderful witness to show that if you hold fast to that high priest, that he is faithful and he is there. Thought about Lowell. What a great soul to have in our church. These two people that we lost here recently. We haven't lost them. We know where they're at. But we can look to them and look to them as people that were anchored in Christ and that put their faith in them. And they were ones that knew where their lifeline was. They knew that when things got bad, turned to the Lord. When people in their life began to pass away, they turned to the Lord. When things began to, you know, terrible storms in their life, just like Peter and just like the disciples. You see, this, they were on the sea by themselves when this storm came up. I'm sure they began to get scared because earlier they had been through a storm, but Christ was with them in the boat. This time they were on their own. But he came out to them, and he came to them. He knew that they were probably afraid, and he reached out to them, and they reached out to him. But there's no place that we can go that we can't just cry out, even on the open sea. Imagine yourself out in the middle of the ocean, the Pacific Ocean, all the way out, miles, thousands of miles from any land, thousands of miles from any boat, and you're getting ready to go under. You can call out to Christ, and he'll lift you right up. No matter how far out there you are, he's there. There's no distance that he can't cover to help you out. There's no obstacle that he can't overcome to say, hey, it's going to take me a while. I hope you can hold on until I can get there. That's not what Christ is saying. He's saying, call out to me right now, and I can pull you to safety. Call out to me. Come unto me. Peter said, can I come out there? Come. Come unto me. And that's what he's saying to you this morning. Just put some faith in me. These aisles right now might seem like water that you don't want to step out in because they're dangerous. You take a step and you'll find firm ground that he will pull you in. You say, that sounds silly. No, it doesn't. I know what it's like to sit in the pew and not want to go forward. I know what that's like. Scary. Why do you think people grip onto the pews? Because to them, it's almost like stepping out into uncharted water. But you step out into uncharted water. No water is uncharted to Christ. He'll make a way for you to come. Whatever you're dealing with this morning, it's not an admission of guilt to come up here. Whatever you're dealing with this morning, cry out to God and say, Lord, save me from this. Save me from this. Maybe you're unsaved. Save me from my sin. Save me from myself. Save me from hell this morning. Or maybe it's a storm that you're going through that you're trying to weather yourself. And you need to just say, you know what? Save me from this storm. Or maybe you've come to church and you've just been floating around. But you want to be tethered to that lifeline. Maybe you feel like an imposer. Maybe you feel like you've just been here, but you haven't really been connected to Christ. Then you reach out and you say, connect me this morning. I want to feel what all these other people are feeling as they celebrate you and worship you. As we get a song of invitation, whatever the need, if you just want to come and worship him, then you step out and you worship him this morning at this altar. As we sing a song, you come.
Everyone stand and give a hymn. We'll turn to page 52.
Overcome the fear that come this morning.
Have you a heart that's weary, trending a load of care? Are you a soul that sings? He will abide till the end. Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard? He loves you, and that he will abide till the end.
Morning, then you know, you've been told the answer. The answer is Christ. The kids showed it to you in the form of their skit. They showed you right there that Christ is the answer. We've heard about it from the scripture that Christ is the answer. Sometimes things that go in here and go in here, they don't go past our minds because we decide not to hear, not to do things. Let it sink in. Just know that He is the answer, and you can always cry out, call out to Him to be saved. Do we have anything else before we dismiss?